Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Is baseball too slow for you these days? Because it's slowing down.
Yeah. Well, anything slow is tiresome when you're sitting there as a spectator. I think that's why football has been so popular, because it's nonstop action. So, and even, you know, on TV with all those replays. So when you watch baseball, it can be a little slow. I mean, I love the game, so I enjoy watching it. And I love golf. I enjoy playing that. But there's nothing worse than slow golf or slow baseball.
Would you think that fines would fix what ails Major League Baseball? Or if a pitcher waits too long, then that's a ball in the count? Or the batter steps out, that's a strike in the count?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing about football, is they're always looking for ways to improve it.
Right.
I mean, baseball is such like a...
traditional.
It's so traditional.
Yeah.
I mean, they never want to make changes to anything in baseball, so
who knows? When you were a catcher, did you run out to the mound like every three pitches the way that Veritek does?
No, I didn't do that. No. I was kind of, as a catcher, I was very much like I was a quarterback. So I was an emotional catcher, and I was, you know, when the it was not good when the pitcher shook me off, you know.
You took it personally?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you think that you have a pretty good feel for where the batter's standing in the box and how late he is on pitches. But
did you ever think to do what Kevin Costner does in Bull Durham and tell him what pitch is coming just to show up your pitcher?
No, I didn't need to do that some days with some of the guys we had on the mound in high school.
Hey, How about hits? How about hits from base runners? Did you get bulldozed, and did you come out of that usually with the ball in your hand, you know, laughing, smiling, enjoying that?
Yeah, I always loved trying to block the plate. You know, because I was a big kid. I was a big catcher, a six, four and a half, you know, 215-pound catcher in high school. So, you know, there weren't many kids that were that big. You know, just blocking the plate, or when I played first base, blocking first base, you know, when the pitcher threw over, I always enjoyed that. They didn't bowl me over too often.
Tom, we've been discussing the previews that we've seen on a Football Life Bill Belichick. Football Life takes an in-depth look at the life of one of the NFL's most intriguing coaches. Have you seen the two-minute preview that NFL Films has run?
I haven't. You know, a few people mentioned they saw it. They said it looks pretty cool, but
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It looks awesome.
Fascinating, in fact. What do you think? Well, first of all, are you surprised that Bill did this? Because this is so out of the ordinary for him to let us have a little bit of peek inside, you know, behind the curtain, and yet from the 2 minutes and 30-second preview that we saw, there's a lot of behind-the-curtain stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think he... in being around him for a while, and what his comment that he made to the team was, you know, he really has a great deal of respect for NFL Films and Ed Sable and Steve Sable and what they've done for the league. So it's hard when they request something that you don't agree to it, because you know the level of detail that goes into it, how they produce it, the way that it's shot is always to make the NFL come out looking great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, NFL Films is spectacular, and whenever they do something, all those Super Bowl videos are incredible. You know, when you watch those and they highlight the season, and even going back to all the old time NFL films stuff is so cool. So I think when Coach Belichick got the opportunity, you know, he said it was a historic year for, you know, him in terms of coaching. It was a historic year for the Patriots. I think it was our 50th year.
Oh, yeah.
So I think those two things combined, he said, is what helped make the decision a little bit easier for him.
Well, you're a big part of this, too, from what we can tell, and some of the most fascinating parts are the exchanges between you and your coach. Did you, I mean, obviously you knew there was a camera. Were you consciously aware that it was there when you were in this meeting? And we could play the clip if you'd like, Tom, the meeting where you make a suggestion and he says, good idea.
Yeah, take a listen.
Thinking about that last play, maybe we should build like a dart or a stop into the backside so I don't have to take a timeout on the 1-2 spot.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So that surprised me. I didn't know he actually listened to you, Tom.
It's not very often.
No.
I'm glad you guys played that. That was probably the last time I heard him say that's a good idea.
He doesn't say that very often.
That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he, you know, it's good for it. We always have a great exchange of information, and I think those meetings that he and I have are very helpful for me. They always have been, going back to when he was coaching the quarterbacks, when Coach Rabine passed away in 2001. So, you know, he's really, he enjoys coaching the quarterbacks. He enjoys coaching the cornerbacks, everybody. So he's got so much information that when you're in a meeting with him, that's all you do is you take down notes and you listen to what he's saying, you hear his perspective, and then ultimately you try to incorporate whatever he says into what you're trying to do out there.
Well, why can't other guys do it, Tom? It doesn't seem like it's so complicated, like he's some kind of, you know, rocket scientist or brain surgeon. It's finite, the number of things coaches can do, moving players here, moving them there, teaching them this technique or that technique. Why is he so much better than everyone else, in your opinion?
I mean, honestly, I've never been around anybody else, so it's hard for me to know. I mean, what he has taught me in terms of defense is, from a defensive perspective, how they're trying to cover things, how to take advantage of the weaknesses of each opponent, whether that's as a scheme or as an individual player. So I think his evaluations, for me, when I sit down and we talk about defensive backs, you know, a lot of the things that come out of those meetings is, okay, well, on this particular DB, we're going to run, you know, let's say a slant route. Well, on the other side of the field, the guy doesn't let you run slant routes, but you can run what we call a stop route, where you push up like you're running a go route, and then you stop really quick, and I fire the ball to the receiver. So sometimes you go into the game, you say, okay, when we're on the left hash, and I'm throwing to the left, we're going to run a slant on this play. Well, when the right hash, we're going to run a stop route. So a lot of those little things that don't seem like much end up helping you convert on third down, which keeps a drive alive, which leads to another touchdown. So, you know, it's just a whole bunch of little things like that that he's able to identify that, yeah, other people may be able to identify them, but the way they coach it, the way they communicate it, and the way they allow the players to implement those things into a game plan is, I mean, he's great at that, and he's very receptive to when I have a suggestion, or when Vince has a suggestion, or Gerard does, because, you know, he wants to see it verified on the field in practice. But, you know, if he thinks you see something as an instinctive player, then, you know, he'll a lot of times let you kind of go with it.
Tom, X's and O's aside, and cerebral concepts and scouting and all that, would we be surprised to know how much of the coaching, good coaches, deal with actual physical technique? Because he said to you at one point, you know, step into the throw, and I've seen him with a linebacker, and so you got to play defense from the inside out, whatever that means. Is there a lot of technique being taught at this level?
There should be. I mean, it's probably overlooked quite a bit, because a lot of times you're thinking about game planning and the execution of the plays. Mm-hmm. So when you're out to practice, a lot of the times the coaches aren't thinking about technique, or a lot of the times, you know, the player, they don't want to mess with the player's technique, because, look, the player got to this point doing it a certain way, and if you start, a lot of the times when you change your technique, you regress a little bit, but in order to get better, sometimes you need to get a little bit worse, and there's not a lot of time or patience for that in the NFL, because you're trying to win each week. You can't, you know, a golfer makes swing changes and he's off for, you know, 3 or 4 months. Well, we play every week, so if your technique's bad, you know, you better work on it when you can, but when it comes down to the playing, you better play, because you can't be thinking about your technique when you're playing. So a lot of those is a lot of those technique things that come up, you know, you need to spend individual time working on those things in your downtime, on your off days, thinking about them at night, seeing them in front of, you know, for me, throwing, you know, looking in a mirror and throwing, you know, seeing my throwing technique. So I'm always working on that, and then when I get on the field, you know, it's second nature to me.
Hey, what do players see and know about Belichick that the rest of the world doesn't know? And maybe we'll get a little glimpse in this piece on the 15th, but what do you guys know and see that we don't?
Well, I mean, he never wants to give away information that's going to help another team. So whether that's injuries, whether that's game planning, whether that's what his thoughts on a particular player are, I mean, he never wants to put us at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So with us, it's the total opposite of what, you know, the people in the media get when they ask him a question, because he doesn't want to tell them anything. Well, with us, he tells us everything. So it's just part of his philosophy, and that's what he really preaches to us. Guys, we're not talking about, you know, injuries. We're not talking about game plan. We're not talking about scheme. We're not talking about what position you're going to play this year. You know, let them figure it out. You know, you don't want to come out and say, well, this is what we plan to do with so-and-so because he's good at this or he's good at this. I mean, let the other teams figure it out. So we know what we're going to do. We know, and by watching our opponent's film, we can understand, you know, what we have, what we see as perceived weaknesses in them, and these are how we're going to take advantage of those things. But you know, we never want to go into a game tipping our hand, and I think that's what he preaches to us, and that's how you know he approaches it himself.
The other day, Heath Evans was on with us, Tom, and he called Belichick the funniest guy he ever met in his life. Would you agree with that?
In my life, I mean, Lenny Clark's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Lenny's pretty funny. There's a lot of funny guys. I mean, I think you don't expect a lot of things that probably come out of his mouth. And I've been around for a while, so I've heard his jokes for like 12 years, you know, and they kind of come at the same time every year. So he is funny. He's got a great sense of humor, and he's very witty. I mean, he's so smart. I mean, he's always on top of things. So whenever he does let his guard down a little bit, he can be pretty funny.
Who's going to be around here longer, you know, playing with the Patriots, coaching with the Patriots, you or him?
I'm sure he'll get sick of me at some point. So who knows? Who knows? I mean, I love playing here, but you know, it's a crazy business, so I'm not sure. I've never talked to him how much longer he wants to coach, but you know, as long as I'm playing and playing at a high level, then I'll probably be here. When I'm not playing at a high level anymore, then I'll probably be shipped on my way.
Tom, how is a week of preparation for a regular season game different than a week of preparation for a preseason game? Because it's for real now.
Well, it's very different. I mean, it's very different. When you, in the preseason games, I mean, you probably watch over the course of the week an hour of film mm-hmm. on the opponent. I mean, you don't even get much of a feel for their players or their scheme. You just kind of see some real basic things about them. You talk about them very basically. And when playing the Dolphins this week, I mean, I've gone back through, you know, the last few years of notes that I've taken. I've seen, you know, 9 games. I've seen, you know, you take all these notes, you get into the details of the coverages, the details of the players. So it's a ton of, it's very, very different. I mean, every play that we're going to run this week has a specific reason. I mean, in the preseason games, a lot of the plays you're running are just to run them because you ran them in practice that week against the Patriots
right.
defense. So you just don't have time to, in the preseason, because you're trying to install new plays and work on individual schemes and techniques that, you know, you're not scheming up plays for particular defenses. So that's why I think everyone really loves moving the page or turning the page on the preseason, because you really will feel so much more confident going to these games, knowing the types of things that you're going to do and the type of things you're going to need to do in order to, you know, get the ball in the end zone.
This may be an unanswerable question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have any sense or way to judge or way to assess how much further behind you are with 6 days to go until opening night versus a regular year? You feel like you're still trying to catch up here?
I who knows? I mean, I have no idea at this point. I mean, we'll see what kind of team we have, you know, come Monday night. So, look, practicing and practices are great for football teams, and there's no doubt we've had far fewer practices this year than we've had in the past. But you know, we'll see how we react to that. The thing is, every team is playing with the same amount, so we'll see how much we've taken advantage of, which is a possible opportunity for us if we have treated it that way. If we've had good practices, which, you know, we've worked hard, we've been out there, guys who have been out there every day have gotten better and made improvements. We'll see what kind of team we have. So,
hey, if Logan Mankin says Brian Waters plays like I do, kind of a nasty edge, that probably makes the quarterback happy, doesn't it?
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, that whole front five that we have, the nastier they are, the more intimidating they are. I mean, look, Logan doesn't take crap from anybody, and neither does Matt Light. I mean, he was throwing punches at Channing Crowder a few years ago, and Brian's been the same way over the course of his career. So, look, they have an edge to them, and I think that's what makes those guys successful. Is when they take the field, they don't take any crap. They play to the echo of the whistle, and that's how they think they need to play, and that's how they get their edge. So, the more physical we can be up front, the more aggressive we can be up front. I mean, there's no getting around that with an offensive line when those guys are aggressive and tough and physical, because that's what sets the tone for the whole team.
Hey, Tom, Randy Moss told a reporter down in West Virginia that he would only come back to play for one team only, and that's the New England Patriots. Would that surprise you if someday you were thrown to him again?
Would it surprise me? I mean, you never know in the NFL. I mean, I talked to Randy just before training camp started. So, look, no one's, I love Randy. He's one of the greatest receivers in the history of the game, one of the greatest players I've ever had a chance to play with, and I love the guy. So, you know, unfortunately, I don't make personnel decisions. That's, you know, I'd still have all my friends here. Troy would still be here. Right. You know, David Patton would still be here. Dion would never have left, but... you know, it's just, I've seen so many guys move on over the years that, and then guys come back. So who knows? Who knows? I you never know what situation we'll be in here, you know, next week for that matter.
But you think he's playing again somewhere? He's your age, I believe.
Yeah, he's 34, 35.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I can't get into his brain at all, but. You know, I love the guy, and he's a great friend of mine. And if he ever did, and ever did have the opportunity to come back, then, you know, I'd certainly welcome him with open arms.
Tom, it would appear to be abject panic in Indianapolis with Peyton Manning's injury and his whole status up in the air. Is that well-founded panic, do you think, based on his value to that football team?
I mean, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. So if he's not on the field, you know, it's tough for the league because you'd love to see your best players out on the field. I mean, injuries are a part of this game. It's a physical game, and he being in there for as many starts as he's been in there is incredible. So, you know, I hope that he's out there. I hope that he plays well, because he's a friend of mine. You know, not when he plays us, but for the most part, he's been out there every game since he's been in as a starter, which is really remarkable. And what Brett Favre has done over the years is remarkable, knowing how hard it is to answer the bell every time that there's a game. And, you know, it's just as much mental toughness as physical toughness. So, I mean, he's as mentally tough as anybody. If he's out there, then you know that he's going to have that winning attitude that he's always had.
This final question of the week, is brought to you by Auto Trader. Now compare brand spanking new cars and special offers side-by-side at autotrader.com. Has anyone ever explained to you, Tom, why the schedule maker has the Patriots play in Miami at the end of summer and in New England against Miami when it's real cold? Wouldn't it make sense to do it the other way around?
Yeah, well, we've done that a few times. So they always are just changing it up. So they're not that wouldn't be a job that I'd want, that scheduling. So it's however it comes up, it comes up. Sometimes it's look, I enjoy playing down, having them come up here in the wintertime. I mean,
you have an advantage?
Well, I mean, if we can play well, it's an advantage.
Right.
I mean, we certainly play in these conditions. So, and they play in those conditions, but we've played in some hot weather. We played in Tampa a few weeks ago, tried to get used to it a little bit. It's a night game. So, look, they're going to be fired up. It's a home opener. They didn't have a very good season at home last year. So I know that's been their real battle cry this year, is playing well at home. Monday night football, I mean, there's not much more you can ask for than that. So we've got to have a great week of practice. We started off yesterday and got off to a good start, but we have four practices. We got to use every one of them. And when we go down there on Monday night, we're going to bring a lot of energy and hopefully go out and execute at a high level. It's a tough place to play. It always has been for us, whether it's December or whether it's September. And, it'll be a great challenge. It's going to be fun to see where our team's at, where we measure up.
All right, Tom, we'll be watching Monday night. I guess it means we'll talk on Tuesday. Is that the goal, Chach? Yeah, we'll probably talk to you on Tuesday after Monday night football.